Iku Iluna, please rise. Ua ho'o malolo ia mai ne kea aha ho'o kolo kolo ki e ke hana hana. This Honorable Supreme Court is now reconvened. E nono he lau, please be seated.
Velina makamoku punio o ahu kamoko kona he iano ka koma alio lani hale. Greetings on the island of Oahu and the district of Kona. We are gathered here at Ali'i Olani Hale. Please call the case.
Case number SCOT-24-0000787. Dr. Lou Abrams and Maria De Abrams on behalf of the Sacred Earth Assembly, appellants versus Maui Planning Commission, appellee. Arguing for the appellants, Leslie Itzkovitz. Arguing for the appellee, Deputy Corporation Counsel Brian Bilberry. Argument on the merits.
Aloha, kakahiaka, good morning. Today's proceeding is being broadcast live on the Judiciary's YouTube channel. Counsel, ready to proceed?
Yes.
All right. Court has allowed 30 minutes for each side. And just to confirm, Mr. Itzkovitz, I understand you will argue for 20 minutes and reserve your remaining time for rebuttal. And Mr. Bilberry, you will have 30 minutes with a 10-minute warning. Please proceed.
Good morning, Acting Chief Justice and Justices. May it please the court. At the outset of my argument, I have to acknowledge that the record on appeal before the court is incomplete, and I take responsibility for the incomplete record. This is an appeal of a decision by the Maui Planning Commission to deny, which denied appellant's application for a special use permit. There is an extensive record that was established before the Maui Planning Commission, which was the record of appeal on the circuit court appeal before it was transferred to the Supreme Court. We do not have the commission record in the appeal. It was the Planning Commission's responsibility who was required to send the record on appeal to the Supreme Court. It was my duty to make sure the record on appeal was accurate. I failed in that duty. Both appellant and appellee made references to the record on appeal in the circuit court appeal in the briefs and submitted to the court. The argument is complete. Appellee used the commission record in their answering brief, as did appellants. When the First Circuit Court transferred the appeal to the Hawaii Supreme Court, it became the reviewing court, and to which the entire commission record should have been transmitted. It was not. It was a procedural error. I acknowledge it was my duty to catch the error. However,
counsel, I believe we have the record on appeal, or do we not?
Accessible.
Right, it is accessible. We are able to review the circuit court record.
Oh, okay, so that's...
And that is how we usually do things, so it's... Yeah, I don't think that's an issue right here.
Oh, excellent.
Thank you.
So the issue presented is whether this appeal should be placed at risk of dismissal for the alleged record being missing, and the court just said it's not an issue. So this is a direct administrative appeal asking this court to vacate the Maui Planning Commission's May 10th, 2021 decision denying Sacred Earth Assembly's special permit and to remand with instructions to approve and reissue SUP 1-2019001 with constitutionally compliant conditions. We submit that appellants should prevail on multiple independent grounds. Constitutional error under the First Amendment as applied by spirit of Aloha Temple. 2, unlawful procedure, lack of notice and denial of the promised opportunity to present evidence and argument. Arbitrary and capricious reversal, and findings unsupported by the record and unreviewable due to an inadequate record of the July 14th, 2020 meeting. Our argument has a constitutional foundation. HAR Administrative Rule 15-1595-C2 cannot support a denial of the SUP. The Commission's denial rests, at least in substantial part, on HAR 15-1595-C2's adversely affect surrounding property guideline.
Counsel, on that issue, if I could ask, I mean, the
the commission's reasoning for denying the permit was based on subsection 2 and subsection 5. Isn't that a different circumstance than Spirit of Aloha?
Well, actually, if you look at C5, the finding of fact 42, it says the wording is the project is well suited for this property. So it's actually inconsistent with their argument. You know, it showed how the commission was sloppy in their record, because they actually said it was well suited, but they're arguing that it's not well suited.
I thought the finding was that the property was well suited for agricultural use, which is what it has been used for, if I understand.
No, actually, it was well suited for the purpose intended for the church use. Mm. Is what the finding says.
Council, if I can ask you, you know that May 2019 meeting, there was a motion to deny the petition. Was that actually voted on, or what happened to that? I wasn't quite clear in the record as to
actually when the
what
motion
happened. I know it was like rescinded or withdrawn, or there was some reconsideration.
Yeah, what happened was that I testified or at the hearing that there was a law, the Religious Land Use Institutionalized Persons Act, that was.
No, I'm aware of that, but what happened to the motion that was made? Was it actually voted on at some point?
No, they went into private session after I said I brought up RLUIPA, and after that, corporate counsel made some statements to the commission, and they withdrew the. They did not vote on it.
It was never voted on.
Never voted on.
Right, thank you.
Council, if I could redirect you back to my question, I've now pulled up finding of fact 42, and it says the commission finds that the property is suited for the uses permitted in the district, contrary to subsection C5. So by the uses permitted in the district, I read that as the commission saying this property is zone for agricultural use. Where does the word, there's no word in there as to church or the usage sought by the applicants.
The courts have said that church use is permitted on agricultural land. That's been cited. I don't have the case in front of me, but that's definitely a decision that's well briefed in my brief regarding.
Well, it's within the discretion of the commission to determine that, but in terms of C5, one of the questions as to whether to issue the SUP or the special use permit, as I understand it, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that if the property is well suited for what is already allowed for, zoned for, et cetera, that a special use permit should not be granted.
Well, there's no evidence in the record that says it's not well suited, and the nature of the project is that we applied for a special use permit for a church, it was originally granted. The Maui Planning Commission's report recommendation that was submitted by the Planning Commission said it was well suited. The Office of Planning also reviewed the project and also said it was well suited.
Let me ask you this. If my reading of finding of fact 42 is correct, wouldn't that be a distinction, though, with what occurred in the Spirit of Aloha Ninth Circuit case? Because there, that ruling by the commission was solely on C2.
Well, in Spirit of Aloha, they applied two guidelines. They said it didn't meet two guidelines, C2 and C5. In our case, it was only C2. C5, because the wording of the finding of fact did not address, there's no evidence in the record whatsoever by anybody that says it was not well suited. They did not make any reference to the record of evidence in the record that said it was not well suited.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are we bound by Spirit of Aloha?
You are not technically bound by it, but the fact is when a federal court, a court of appeals, actually makes a determination of constitutional, whether something's constitutional or not, it should be given great weight.
Judge Clifton filed a separate opinion in that case explaining why he thought the Ninth Circuit's case law, prior case law, had perhaps unduly extended the nexus requirement to the prior restraint question. And so I'd like you to address that, please.
Well, the thing about prior restraint is what the Ninth Circuit said is that because it provided unbridled discretion to the commission members, that it could deny just because of a whim, because it didn't like a party. And when it has unbridled discretion, that is what the court ruled gave it the prior restraint. Why it was not constitutional, because there was prior restraint. And that was the decision, and it was, I believe, well argued.
Do you know of any other federal court that has ruled similar to the Ninth Circuit that has created such a, in Judge Clifton's view at least, an attenuated nexus to expression, where we're talking about a permit for use of agricultural property?
I cannot cite another federal case regarding that. All I can cite is the reasoning that there have been churches approved special use permits, and it's happened, and it's regular, and it's within the realms of what the law provides.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I'm saying, if the Ninth Circuit court holding did stand unchallenged here, could any planning commission ever deny a SUP based on adverse effects to neighbors?
Not according to the current, because it was ruled unconstitutional, they have to pass new regulations that are constitutional. They haven't done that. They've had years since this Ninth Circuit made its decision.
So planning commissions like the MPC, any planning commission throughout our state would have to grant the SUP. Is that what your position is?
Currently they couldn't use regulation C2.
Okay, so under C2. But, your contention is they only really relied on C2, not CF, C5 apparently. But would that mean that on ag land, some entity could build, let's say, a 2,000-seat mega church, and who cares what the neighbors think on that ag land?
Well, it still comes down to, in order to get the special use permit, the commission was supposed to review 5 guidelines. The Planning Commission report by the Director of Planning, Michelle McLean, recommended that we complied with all 5 guidelines. So there wasn't anything that the Planning Commission ever said that was anything. They disagree totally with the commission's position now, but the record is clear that the nature of this application met all the guidelines, and they had to have accepted that when they approved the permit on August 13, 2019.
Okay, but let's say not this application, another application where neighbors provide overwhelming testimony, a 2,000-seat church that's going, has weekly or daily services, rather. It's really, impacting transportation, water, all those things. It has an adverse effect. If we were to accept the Ninth Circuit's case, wouldn't that mean that these planning commissions would have to grant the SUP?
Well, the fact of the matter is there's no evidence supporting the argument that it wasn't well suited, or that it was not, it would not impact the neighbors. Those were the findings.
I know that's your particular case, but we don't necessarily, obviously, decide your case, but there's broader implications to whatever we do.
Yes, but I submit that each case goes by the record before this court. Each case is different. In spirit of Aloha, neighbors extensively testified, and that's why they denied the permit. In this case, there was a total of 3 neighbors who testified for 3 minutes each at the public hearing on May 28th, and none of them raised the issues that they're raising now. There's the fact of the matter, again, the record is what the record is, and they can only, and the, this decision is restricted to the record. What the appellee has done is they cite all these additional documents from the Land Use Commission and documents submitted by Judge Drewyer and another neighbor. But those were not in the commission record. They were never accepted into the commission
record. Speaking of the record, you know, Justice Devens asked you a question about what happened after they went into executive session and whether they actually had really decided the issue.
No, not at that time.
Now, were you allowed to provide, when they came out, further evidence, such as cross-examining some of the neighbors?
Well, what happened was, after the public hearing was closed on May 28th and public testimony was closed, the Judge Drewyer was actually in the courtroom, in the commission hearing, and did not testify. And then, but after the hearing, she and another neighbor, Jerome Labatt, submitted 120 pages saying, look at all these violations, look at all these violations. And actually what happened, the Planning Commission actually allowed those documents to be given to the planning commissioners. I raised the issue that, wait a minute, this came in after the hearing and I was not allowed to cross-examine. So at the June hearing of the Planning Commission, they gave me the opportunity saying, you can cross-examine. Judge Drewyer and the other neighbor, Jerome Labatt, was invited to come in and testify allow me to cross-examine them. Well, that was at the August meeting. Well, Judge Drewyer and Mr. Labatt did not show up for cross-examination. Therefore, the Planning Commission excluded all of the 120 pages. They excluded from the record. They're not in the record. But the Planning Commission almost exclusively relies on documents either that was submitted to the Land Use Commission or just submitted extemporaneously.
Is it your position that that procedure was flawed and compromised your abilities to present your position at the contested case hearing?
It didn't compromise. It just brought in things that weren't in the record. That just should never be considered by this court because it's not in the record. The record is restricted to for this court.
Did the commission rely on it?
There's no evidence because it wasn't in the record. If they relied on something that wasn't in the record, that would have been in violation of state law and the rules of appellate procedure. It's the decision of this court must be relied upon. The record, and only the record. If it's not in the commission record, it shouldn't be mentioned. You know, he shouldn't have mentioned all these documents that were never the record. He shouldn't have mentioned the settlement discussion that we had. He relied on things that were clearly outside the record, and just in disregard of what the rules require.
Counsel, you had mentioned that after the May 28th meeting that public testimony was that was the end of it. They didn't accept any additional testimony subsequent.
Correct.
Okay, then in July 20th meeting, you folks submitted a new site plan or a new site map, didn't you?
Yes.
And it was 14.6 acres or whatever it was. Was public testimony opened up again to address that new evidence?
The agenda said public testimony would be taken, but at the outset of that hearing, Corporate Counsel Michael Hoppers announced there will be no testimony, even though on the published agenda it said testimony would be allowed.
Okay, so your client submits new evidence, but no public testimony was permitted.
Correct. I was allowed to submit up more evidence specifically.
Okay, then going back to the August 2019 meeting, you folks have the site plan map. It's 14.8 acres, clearly below the 15 threshold. They vote to approve the permit, and then the record's sent to the LUC. Why was it sent to the LUC, and did you make an objection to that?
I did, but you know, it was after they issued their rule.
What did you object to? What was your objection?
My objection that it wasn't appropriate, quite frankly, because it was...
Why wasn't it appropriate?
Because it was up to the Planning Commission to decide whether they had jurisdiction or not. And that's what the land use decided, and their remand order...
It wasn't jurisdiction. They were sending the complete record up to the LUC. Why was that allowed?
Only on jurisdictional grounds. why was it allowed? They chose to do it. I had no means to stop it.
What was the jurisdictional issue?
About 15 acres. Whether or not, if it was over 15 acres or more, then the Land Use Commission had a jurisdiction.
I understand that the parcel is actually 25 acres.
The whole farm is 25 acres.
And is it subdivided?
Not at all.
Contiguous.
But
it's contiguous.
It's contiguous. Yeah, it's all one big piece.
Okay, but at that August meeting, I thought your client offered to include the access roadway, which was 0.7 acres. That would have put it above the 15 threshold.
Well, it was questionable.
Wasn't there some confusion about that?
No, there was a question of whether the driveway should be included, and we submitted.
That's the access roadway, right? 0.7.
Yeah.
That would have pushed it over greater than 15.
It could have, but there was testimony.
It would have, according to your map. It was 14.8 plus 0.7.
It could have, and that's
not
why.
Not could have, it would have.
It would have.
Right.
But there was a legal discussion at the time whether or not the driveway is generally included as part of the acreage determined.
Okay, but I thought the record reflected that your client offered to include that access roadway, and therefore it would have brought it within the jurisdiction of the LUC at that point. Was there uncertainty on that?
No, but in order to clarify, when it was sent down on remand, we submitted a new map to exclude any possibility that it could be more than 15 acres.
Okay, but at the time of the August 19, 2019 meeting, was there uncertainty as to what the exact acreage was, and that was a reason why it went up to the LUC? Because if it's not greater than 15, the LEC really has no involvement other than a courtesy review and comment. And that seems to be about it, as provided by the rules. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, at the time, we were confident it was under commission practice. It was under 15 acres because the driveway was not included. What they did was they wrote a letter to the chairman of the Land Use Commission who indicated maybe it should be. So that's when they remanded. It was six findings to make.
Okay, but I thought at that August meeting, it was your client was representing to redraw the parcel map to include the access roadway. And I'm just wondering, did that raise this uncertainty as to what the actual acreage is? And therefore, the LUC gets involved at that point.
Well, again, the access road and prior matters, special use permit issues, were never included.
Okay, but it seems like your client made the offer.
We made the offer; it wasn't accepted. We were making the offer, but they did not rely on that offer.
It may have been accepted by virtue of the record going up, and they're now seeking input from the LUC.
Well, except the Land Use Commission made clear that it was not up to them to decide jurisdiction. It was the Maui Planning Commission who had to decide who had jurisdiction.
Well, I thought the LUC came back and said, hey, we need specificity as to what acreage are we actually talking about. They weren't sure. That's what the record seems to reflect.
Well, what the Land Use Commission said was the entity who decides how many acres it is and whether or not jurisdiction is there is the Planning Commission. It doesn't belong to us. We don't have that authority because of the way the law is written. Because if it's under 15 acres, it's clearly the Planning Commission.
I understand your point. Thank you.
Can the Planning Commission reconsider its prior decisions per its rules?
Excuse me, I didn't hear that.
Can the Planning Commission, under Rule 12-201-84, reconsider its decisions?
Perhaps, but it didn't do so.
Well,
not procedurally, because procedurally there was no basis, because after the August meeting, the planning department issued the permit. They actually changed the name, that when the reference for the case was always the pending application. But on the September 16th, 2019 letter from the planning department, it was changed to the actual SUP 2019-0001. It showed that the status had changed.
If this was over 15 acres, would the Planning Commission have had jurisdiction to issue the permit?
If it was over 15 acres, no. That would have gone to the...
It would have to be the LUC.
It would have to be Land Use Commission.
And then if... what procedural rules allow the LUC to remand to the MPC for this determination and all the conditions that they... all the issues that they asked?
I can't respond to that because the Land Use Commission did it. There was no procedural basis for me to object to the Land Use Commission's making the order. They set it up. The Planning Commission sent it up to them. The Land Use Commission immediately sent it down. And basically what happened was when the Planning Commission made its first finding, which was about what's the size of it and the jurisdictional issue, that was the end of it. That should have just, that was their final order. That was when it was sent up to the Land Use Commission, it was sent up to them for final action. But they didn't take the final action. They just sent it back to the Planning Commission to take final action, which they did. Once the once that was decided, there was no need for the Planning Commission to make other the other five findings that were in the remand order. And we submit that it just wasn't appropriate. It wasn't there.
If
and they never made those findings.
Assuming the Planning Commission continued to have jurisdiction after remand, you are indicating that the documents that had been submitted by neighbors were not to be considered by the Planning Commission, but it went ahead and considered documents that had been submitted to the LUC. Is that correct?
There's no indication that they considered it. They received it, but I would submit that the Planning Commission knew that it could not make decisions that were not based on the record.
But the record, in terms of the record, under Rule 12-201-69, of the rules of the Planning Commission as to the evidence that they can consider, they can actually consider government records as well as take judicial notice of other matters that can be judicially noticed, correct?
Well, the Planning Commission, if it decides to accept the testimony into the record, all this,
not
all
just
this,
testimony, records.
Well, the
evidence.
Records, the documents. The Planning Commission could have accepted those documents into the record if they chose to. They didn't, and therefore it was not part of the record.
The Planning Commission can consider other government records as well as take judicial notice pursuant to the extent a court could take judicial notice.
Only if it accepts it into the record.
Where does the rule say that? The rule does not say that.
Well, it's clear that the record is what the record, what the transcripts of those meetings made it clear that the Planning Commission did not address that issue. They did not say we're also going to review the Land Use Commission records. It was presented, but there's no indication that they paid attention to it, that they considered it at all.
Thank you. Please proceed.
I'm sorry, did anyone on your client's behalf object to what amounted to a reopening of the case after a vote was already taken to approve the permit?
Yes, I objected repeatedly in terms of, you know, usually correspondence. There was no procedural way to say, wait a minute, you can't go to the Land Use Commission.
I'm talking about specifically reopening it because you sort of reopened it yourself by submitting a new site map.
We did that in response to the commission, Land Use Commission order, remand order.
Okay. Was there any formal motion to reconsider the commission's prior vote approving the permit application?
None whatsoever.
Any motion to set aside that vote?
None whatsoever. None whatsoever.
Thank you.
What were the submissions from the neighbors in what context were those submissions submitted?
Well, they were, there were 120 pages total is what I counted. Some of them were referencing events that were not taking place on my client's property. It was up at Haiku Yoga, I think was the name, something like that. So the documents, they were just pictures, videos, but they were not what they represented them to be. And that's why I said I have a right to cross-examine these people to really find out, you know, just to get to the bottom of it. And they failed to show up for cross-examination. Therefore, the Planning Commission excluded it from the record. And that should be the end of the story as far as what's in the record.
At the May 2019 public hearing, your neighbors, the neighbors of the property, Mr. Labatt, Robinson, and Maloney all testified, though.
For 3 minutes each.
With regards to the impact on of the celebrations and the traffic and noise in the neighborhood. So there is some evidence. I mean, you're not having any question about the about that evidence.
If you look at the actual testimony, it wasn't specific regarding traffic or water. Nobody mentioned the water agreement that they were disputing. Nobody brought up traffic except what Mr. Robinson did. But just said, he just made a general comment. Mr. Labatt didn't say he was a party to the water agreement. He didn't complain about water. But okay. the one thing I did say in the brief, and I said it a few times, which wasn't quite accurate. I said it was exactly the same record. They reversed it, and revoked it, on the same record that they approved it. And to correct that, at the July 14th, 2020 hearing. They did submit two more letters to the record at the Planning Commission's request. Neil Nishida, who's an engineer, submitted a letter that said there's plenty of water. This will not impact anybody if they have water for the church. And on the highways, they had a Department of Transportation letter that also said this is not a problem for the highways. So it wasn't the exact same record, but there was nothing submitted to record that was actually opposed to our application. It supported our application.
And just for clarity, what is the time period that of the evidence that you just referenced? What was the time period that evidence was submitted?
That was after July 14th. It was prior to the July 14th.
So this is after the reopening or whatever the further hearing later down the road.
We don't know what they were doing because on the agenda they didn't even mention the prior permit that had already been approved. They just decided upon themselves. Lorna's, the chairman, decided that he was going to revoke the permit, and he led the meeting that way.
But it seemed like you kind of opened the door to the whole thing at the July meeting. And the reason why I say that, and I'm not real clear yet, is because your original site plan was 14.8 acres. You then offered to include the 0.7 acres access roadway to reconfigure the map. You then offer a new site map at the July meeting, and you include the access roadway, but the acreage actually goes down to 14.6. I'm not sure how that happened. I think you folks excluded some portion of the property. So you had a reconfiguration altogether. Didn't you open the door to this contest?
I don't think so. I believe not, because historically the driveway was not included within the 15-acre determination.
But you decided to include it, and you offered up a new site map, and the commission actually voted to accept that.
Yes.
I mean, you opened the door to a brand new hearing, didn't you? Or could it at least be viewed that way?
Why would it be opening the door to revoke the permit?
Because you offered new evidence. You got a new map, new configuration, completely different from what you originally offered. That's why.
Well, the commission did allow us to submit the new map as part of the remand order.
No, and I'm not debating the fact that you did what you did, but I'm just saying, could that be viewed as you opened up this whole proceeding again? Public testimony should have been accepted at that point.
Public testimony should have been accepted. It was not.
You agree with that?
Public testimony should have been accepted.
At the July 2020 hearing.
Just before the hearing.
At the July 2020 hearing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because what happened was prior to that meeting, Dr. Abrams submitted an extensive letter responding to every issue raised by the Land Use Commission in its remand order. But we don't have... Dr. Abrams was not allowed to testify. Tara Furukawa, the planner from Maui County, wrote to me saying, please bring up Dr. Abrams' letter, because they may not all have read it. And you and your attorney will have plenty of time to testify, like we were allowed at all three prior commission hearings on the subject. In fact, he was not allowed.
Is that reflected in the record that we have?
Yeah, he was 15 minutes. He was allowed 15 minutes. And the only reason why, that's because there was a technical difficulty and they lost a large segment of that meeting. There was no minutes. They just didn't record it. So therefore, we do not know what was discussed among the commission and why they decided. We just don't have that answer.
I understand.
Thank you, counsel. I think your time is up, so we'll go ahead and we'll allow a few minutes for rebuttal. But Mr. Lilberry?
Thank you.
Your Honors, thank you for taking the time today to discuss this case. I am going to rest on the papers. I really don't have anything to add unless you have specific questions for me.
You know, I'll ask the same question I asked counsel. And that was, you know, how do you move from the commission approving the permit, and then all of a sudden it gets set aside? There's no formal vote taken, nothing that I saw on the record, and maybe you can enlighten me on that, that somehow gets them to revoting this thing all over, not opening it up as a contested case hearing, shutting out the public testimony, and it just gets rammed through that way. And they went from an approved permit to nothing. How does that happen procedurally?
Yeah, I don't believe it just went from an approved permit to nothing. It went to the Land Use Commission, and they expressed concerns about the approval.
Well, and that's the other question. Why are they even involved? It's not greater than 15 acres. They have no business being involved other than an opportunity to review and comment as I read the rule. That's it.
Yeah, but I believe there was a question raised by the commission before it went up to the Maui Planning Commission, before it went up to the Land Use Commission, as to whether the area to be used was actually under 15 acres.
Well, all the evidence presented by the MUVON seemed to be that it was clearly under 15.
The commission didn't seem to be comfortable with that. And I think
what evidence did they have, though? I mean, they may not be comfortable, but what evidence are they basing their discomfort on? We don't do things on comfort.
They partitioned off a section of the property just under 15 acres to try to potentially to avoid having to go to the Land Use Commission on a 25 acre parcel, which has been noted was not.
Is that allowed under the rules?
That's a good question. I don't know.
How does the commission allow 15, just less than 15, to be like cordoned off of a 25 acre parcel? I'm very confused about the way this is being done.
Yeah, I believe that's one of the reasons why the commission, again, sent it up to the land use, the Maui Planning Commission sent it up to the Land Use Commission to get a determination.
And the Land Use Commission seemed to have a concern if there's impact to other parts of the parcel. That seemed to be a concern of theirs. Is that what you picked up from their response?
I did.
And so how does that play into the rules as far as whether or not they can exert any jurisdiction other than a review and comment opportunity?
Well, it's interesting because they did not really review and comment it beyond saying we have concerns about the approval of this permit, and they sent it back with specific requests for information.
Well, the number one request seemed to be they needed clarity on the acreage involved. Wasn't that the first request?
I'm scrolling up to take a look. There were a number of concerns that I think that might have been even more pressing to the Land Use Commission than the acreage. And one of them was the applicant's use of a 10-year-old State Historic Preservation Department correspondence. In other words, looks like the State Historic Preservation considerations of the property were 10 years old. There was the absence of a traffic impact analysis report. The Land Use Commission.
It's okay. I'm familiar with the rest of it.
Excuse me?
I'm familiar with the other concerns they raised. I was just focusing on the acreage and why the LUC is involved in the first place in all of this.
Yeah, and I would think that that's just because the Planning Commission had a question. I don't know.
But whether they had a question or not, I mean, 2056D seems to be pretty binary. You either approve it with some restrictions or you not approve it. So I'm just wondering where this power, and remand's been thrown around, where this power to remand back to the MPC derives from. I mean, isn't it just up, down? If it's up, we have some restrictions. So we have then these five other non-acreage ideas.
Yeah, but again, they weren't just concerned about the acreage. They had questions about the records.
Hold on, counsel.
Oh.
Could we please turn off? Anyone else with cell phones, please turn them off.
You know, I mean, yeah, concerns, but I just, where does that power come from? I mean, can they just, we get a call on whether it's more than 15 acres, and then we can then send concerns back down for them to address outside the 15 acres?
Well, concerns with the factual record. We need more factual information, do some more fact-finding. And
where does the law allow this? It's either it's 15 acres, the commission decides it's 15 acres or above, or less than 15 acres. Is the LUC an appellate court over the Planning Commission?
Hmm.
There's no right to appeal to the LUC. I don't understand the procedure. Is this the normal process?
I can't say that it is.
It's either, you know, the Planning Commission says it's less than 15 acres, so we decide, we issue the permit, somebody appeals, right? Or the Planning Commission decides it's more than 15 acres, we don't have jurisdiction, this goes to the LUC, here's our records, LUC, you decide.
Right, and so the concern the court is raising is the Maui Planning Commission's deferral or deference to the Land Use Commission to determine the actual applicable acreage under the permit.
Well, it does seem like the law, I'm just looking at 205-6, and it seems like if it's less than 15 acres, the Planning Commission's decide.
Yes, that's my understanding of the law as well. And the only answer I have for you is the Planning Commission had some concerns as to whether they could actually consider the acreage under the permit was under 15 acres.
But even in its final decision, it kind of decided it was less than 15 acres, right?
Yeah, on the remand, you mean.
But some of those other, after topic one, some of those other things had nothing to do with acreage, right, of the six?
I'm sorry?
Some of those six topics that they sent back, remand, whatever we want to call it, some of them, did they all have acreage issues?
No. Again, there was a dated State Historic Preservation Plan or...
And that's what we're asking is, like, where do they get the power to do something other than an up or down approval?
That is assuming that it's under 14 acres. Yeah. And I think they actually, in the Land Use Commission, actually wasn't clear on the acreage itself because, it raised the question when they sent it.
Yeah, I know. I think we understand that. Nobody was clear on it, and, you know, hey, LUC, let us know a little bit. But I guess the question is then they come back with all these other items, and then it goes back to the MPC, and then it seems to re-trigger a whole new semi-contested case hearing that maybe there's procedural flaws. This C is arguing they didn't have a chance to do certain things, and it really kind of somewhat started with the LUC's supposed power to have the MPC address these collateral non-acreage issues.
Well, they are issues that the Maui Planning Commission needed to take up.
Which they could have taken up in the first instance, right? Again, it's not the LUC's role, it doesn't seem, unless you can cite me something.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you on that, but I don't have any basis to disagree with you.
Well, I'm looking at the statute,
and
it's just we either approve with restrictions or we don't approve.
If the property being considered
is over 15.
Is under 15.
But it seems like the determination is with the
MPC. It's 15 or under. The rule is greater than 15.
Then it goes to the Land Use Commission, correct. No, I understand that. The Maui Planning Commission had questions as to whether I guess the legal question as to whether the land that would come under the permit was actually under 14 acres. I think it was like 14.9 something that the applicant kind of tried to tweak to get under the limit. And then it went up to the Land Use Commission. Now, what I'm hearing and what I don't disagree with is that if it was, if the land under the permit was to be considered under 15 acres, yeah, the Land Use Commission votes up or down. But if it's above 15 or 15 or above, then they have a little more discretion and I think the authority to actually consider and rule on the permit.
Actually, you know, 256D seems pretty clear. It says the Land Use Commission only gets to approve and impose additional restrictions if the land area is greater than 15 acres.
Yeah, that's
greater than 15.
Right. I thought I just.
If you don't have that threshold, LUC has no further involvement or shouldn't.
Well, if they could have determined.
Is that the way you read the rule?
Couldn't they have determined that?
Is that the way you read the rule? That the LUC has no approval process, cannot impose any restrictions, can't add anything to this if it's not greater than 15 acres.
Yeah, I thought I had just articulated the inverse of that, which
okay,
is that
so,
if it's above 15 acres.
Okay,
then
so
do.
Was it unlawful procedure to be involving the LUC and getting this remand and addressing whatever concerns they had?
Well, hypothetically, the LUC could have said, this property is over 15 acres and we're going to...
But they didn't.
Right, so they sent it back.
Yeah, they never said that.
How could the LUC, you say hypothetically the LUC could have done that, but under what process? It seems like it's the commission that decides. If the commission is wrong, the appeal goes not to the LUC, but per 91-14.
Correct.
So why is there, I am very confused with this entire process as to the LUC's involvement here.
You're not the only one. But, you know, I don't see anything that precluded the Planning Commission from determining, here's what our inclination is on this permit, but we're unclear as to what the actual acreage coming under the permit is. They asked the Land Use Commission to see if it had any insight on that. I'm not seeing anything that precluded them from asking them to do that. It would have had to go up either way, whether for the up or down vote.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I don't see where the commission was confused with anything. They had site plans that they approved and adopted, and they were clearly under 15. I mean, where's the confusion?
Oh, they raised the question, so they weren't certain. They asked the question when they sent it up. Yeah, I mean, you sound certain, and I'm not going to dispute you, but they had a question about whether the acreage coming under the permit was actually under 15 acres, and they raised that question.
Yeah, but isn't that for the commission's determination? Why are they asking the LUC any of that? That's for the commission to decide.
I mean,
what's being presented to them was clearly under 15.
It wasn't clear to them, apparently.
Well, then they got to decide that themselves. Why are they consulting with anyone else going outside? I don't understand what procedural. I don't understand what legal authority they have to do that when the statute is clear that the LUC only gets involved if it's greater than 15.
Well, they get involved if it's under 15 because they have to vote it up or down, right?
What rule is that?
I thought that's what I heard you articulate.
No, I'm asking you, what rule is that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to tell you today.
I didn't articulate that rule.
Okay, well, I apologize, Your Honor. Yeah.
Mr. Bilbury, what is your position? You may have addressed this, but what is your position on where you have clearly a parcel that is far larger than 15 acres, and it's just being presented to the commission that we're only going to use 14.6 acres of it, and therefore we're outside of the jurisdiction of the LUC. Is that allowable?
Well, if I understand your question correctly, I think the commission was concerned that the use was not going to remain within that 14.6 whatever acres, which is why they raised the question and sent it up.
There was
basis for that concern, given the history.
That's a factual question that you're pointing out. My question is more a legal question, whether where you're dealing with a parcel of 25 acres or so, and somebody is submitting a request to only use 14.6, is it within the discretion of either the LUC or the MPC or whoever to say, hey, this is outside the jurisdiction of the LUC because we're only going to use 14.6 acres of that 25 acres?
I'm trying to make sure I understand your question, Cookie. Are you asking, does the applicant have the authority?
Does anybody, can anyone simply lop off a part of what is clearly a 25-acre parcel and say, therefore, the LUC has no jurisdiction to weigh in on
right,
this?
Right, right. I think that's the question the commission had.
That's my question.
The Maui
to
Planning Commission had.
What is your position on that?
My position?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a personal opinion, but I think what I would say is the Maui Planning Commission had a question about that. And I think it sounds to me like everybody has a question about that. And they didn't know where else to go, so they sent it up to the Land Use Commission.
Well, but that was just a one-off, one situation. Justice Ginoza is talking about sort of globally. And, you know, we have constitutional provisions here that protect ag land, and I think there might be a concern, at least with individuals who own large parcels of those land, coming in and just getting slightly under 15 acres to avoid LUC review. And I think what we're wondering is, you know, what prevents or how does a planning commission look at these things? And Justice Devens earlier brought up with your opposing side the idea about the road and, you know, something that might elevate it over 15. And just practically, how are these commissions, how is the Maui Commission deciding these issues in those situations?
Yeah, I thought I had articulated a similar concern, and I think that's what the Planning Commission's concern was. We have a parcel that has a history of use. They're applying for a special use permit for a church on a portion of that parcel, which is not subdivided from the greater parcel, but is just arbitrarily defined as 14.6 acres. And there may have been some concern as to whether that was going, I think there was some concern that that could potentially expand. And I don't know where else they would turn, but why, if it's going to go up to the Land Use Commission anyway, either way, whether it's under 15 or over 15, why not ask them
to take it? It's not going to the Land Use Commission unless it's greater than 15, 205-6. So what if this had been a 15-acre parcel and then they said, we're only going to use 14.9, right? I mean, what is the commission doing in these situations?
At large, you mean?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know that they're confronted with this that frequently, right? But this is a unique case, and I think they were concerned because they had an applicant with a history of...
Well, they eventually made the decision that this was less than 15, correct?
Yes. Okay. And then they denied the permit for a host of other reasons. Well,
and when they made that decision to deny, what is your position that there wasn't the adequate procedures offered to see to address some of the new information?
Well, Mr. Abrams was given an opportunity to testify further on remand, I believe twice. He was given the opportunity to submit additional information.
Was that it, though? I mean, were they able to address some of the additional information that came into the record?
I'm not sure why they wouldn't have been able to address it.
Are you saying that they waived that issue?
Well, I didn't see anything precluding them from addressing it. He was given the opportunity to address the commission further and submit additional information.
But Wasn't the hearing actually closed at that point? I mean, that's the whole reason why it went up to the LUC. I'm just wondering how it even got reopened in the first place.
Well, it came back from the LUC with a directive to address some issues that they were concerned with.
Thank you.
So, you know, at that last hearing, I mean, any concerns about the public being shut out from this process? No meaningful opportunity to express whatever perspectives and concerns they may have, especially with a new site plan that adjusted the configuration. It included the access road now, took out another portion, actually dropped the acreage from 14.8 down to 14.6. If the public has no opportunity to weigh in on it. You have any concerns about that?
Well, they did take statements, written testimony, and written information, and further submittals from parties concerned.
Right. Any additional questions from the court? If not, Mr. Ixlovitz, you have a few minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. Addressing some of the questions that were raised to opposing counsel.
Could you lower the microphone, please?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Justice. There was actually no discussion in the record about whether you should include whether the 15 acres or 20, the fact that the larger parcel was 25 acres that it was just a part of. There was, I believe, a corporation counsel did say that our commission does not allows that. They do allow smaller, having a site plan that only specified amount of acreage that was under 15 acres, and they ruled on giving a special permit on that basis because it was Planning Commission jurisdiction. It wasn't Land Use Commission record. That was not raised. Any concerns that were Mr. Bilberry refers to is just, you know, just not in the record. They just didn't say it. The record was clear. When the Land Use Commission sent it back down, they were clear. And the Land Use Commission, if you look at the record of the Land Use Commission, there was one particular commissioner, Gary Okuda, who actually said that what is the basis for these conditions? You put 12 conditions, you included a condition where you're only limited to having services six Saturdays per year. Dr. Abrams was Jewish. That Saturday is the Sabbath, and he's being told that there were 46 Saturdays he was not allowed to have services, and that's the constitutional ground. So Gary Okuda said, supply the conditions for these conditions, but once the Land Use Commission, once the Planning Commission made the first finding on the remand order that it was 15 acres, that was it. They were not because it had Land Use Commission clearly had no jurisdiction at that point. There was no law that required the Planning Commission to actually respond to the other five guidelines, the other five remands, even though one of them said, explain your conditions. And they didn't do so because there was no basis for it.
All right. Thank you so much.
But if I have just
one more minute.
Okay. Well, for all these reasons, constitutional error under Temple of Spirit of Aloha Temple, unlawful procedure under HRS 927 and 9296-9C, arbitrary and capricious reversal under HRS 9114-G6, and findings completely unsupported by the record. References were made to that it was in the record. They were not. This record, I'm asking the court. The court should vacate the May 10th, 2021 order and remand with instructions to approve and reissue SUP 1 2019-001 with constitutionally compliant conditions. We want the Planning Commission to not violate the Constitution, which is what they did by including conditions that were just violating the Constitution, clearly limiting a Jewish managed church not to be allowed to have services every Saturday, which is the second most important holiday in the Jewish religion, was just unheard of. It was just no basis for it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, counsel, for your arguments. E kau pauna ka aha hu kolokolo ina mea pili I keia hihia. The court will take this matter under advisement. Okay.
Ku'u iluna, please rise. Ua ho'o ku'u ia mai ne kea aha ho'o kolo kolo ki ke hanahano o ko moku aina o Hawaii. This Honorable Supreme Court, State of Hawaii, is now adjourned.